The message of today is the roar of the Lord. This is prophetic. Remember I said I'm going to give you subtitles to help you keep things together so you can build your notebook and go back and reference these things at your leisure. It's real important that we do understand what God is doing. And today you will get a real taste of what the prophetic is all about. Joel 3:16. Again, the title is called The Roar of the Lord. Father, we just come before you. Holy Spirit, minister the truth and the visions. Give me the words to articulate what you have spoken so that streams can line up and do the things that you have commanded us to do. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us. We thank you for the anointing. And I thank you for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Joel 3:16 says, "The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel." In this prophecy that is being articulated, Joel is telling us that there are two peoples, his people and Israel. Who is his peoples? Us. We's be his peoples. Yeah. And Israel. The Lord has known that the church would falter from time to time. And what I want to do is give you a little historical background so you can understand where we are and where we're going, okay, as a church, as part of the bigger picture. But first I need to ask this question. Holly, you're not allowed to answer it. What is prophecy, or what is prophesying? You guys should know this. Say what? The foretelling of future events. That's half of it. Go ahead, Nick. No, that's very generic. I need specificity. Go ahead, Sheem. Okay, that's what Irene said. In a very general and very specific way, it is the foretelling of God's Word and the forthtelling of God's Word. Okay? That's what prophecy is. I am going to be prophesying to you and let your spirits hear what the Spirit of God is saying. But I'm not going to do that right now. But the Spirit of God is upon me. I am like ready to erupt. This is my anointing that he has given to me, and I've told you many moons ago that this is all going to change in me, that more and more this is going to be a prerequisite for us. And so the gifts and talents that God has put into you, you need to seize them, cultivate them, utilize them, because I'm not the only one with this gift. Right now, you're flowing under the umbrella, but I need you guys to use your gifts and talents, wherever they are and whatever they are, for honoring him and building his kingdom. Amen? This short history starts with Peter prophesying in Acts 3:21. We read this scripture where he says that the times of refreshing would come. And when those times of refreshing comes, God is going to restore everything as it was in the beginning. Okay? And a lot of theologians, they talk about, you know, that God's going to restore this thing as it was in the garden, or as it was in the first church, because God had seen that the church would falter and go into apostasy because of the seven churches that's in the first three chapters of Revelation. It is all that and much more. What we have to do is understand that Peter was prophesying that there is a time and has already come, and we are already in it, the times of refreshing. And understanding this, that Peter wanted to first impart courage to the church, that we were going to go through this period, but yet he wanted to give hope to the church that we were going to come out of this and overcome the schemes that the devil wants to keep us from embracing. And that is the truth that are hidden within the words of God for each and every believer to become that which I have been so diligently preaching that this well-being for you, to tell you who you are in Jesus Christ, to get you to start believing the gospel according to Jesus Christ and what that entails for each and every one of us. It's not just us getting saved. That's the beginning. There is a job for the church, a mandate. Jesus called it the Great Commission. And we need to understand and realize that every generation has this Great Commission. But Satan will take it because he's a spirit being. And until God deals with him and destroys him once and for all in the lake of fire, he has a hand up on us. Because we are finite beings. He will be a finite being. His time is very short, and he is fighting anything that God wants to do in these last days to disrupt him. When the first church was formed and the apostles started to move out through the persecution, they were settled within Jerusalem, and the church became persecuted. It was an element in which God used to move the apostles out, to begin to start spreading the gospel throughout the world. There was great power, great healings, great manifestations were going forth. And you read it in the book of Acts, these things that have happened as they preached the word of God. God confirmed it with many signs, wonders, and miracles to testify that this was true. And then it goes on to elaborate what some of these things were. They cast out demons. They were teleported to different areas of the country. They baptized people. They spoke in other tongues. Gentiles were coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word was what was preached to the people. The people responded, and God showed forth how true this was with his signs and wonders. He was demonstrating that the kingdom of Satan was defeated or becoming to an end. And so it is with us. But what has happened is that from that beginning to around 300 AD, a little more, a little less, there was a work that was going on at the time called the Gnostics. And what they did was they had an extra biblical viewpoint of the cause of Jesus Christ and what was going on, and this is where you get some of these damaging teachings that Jesus had a kid by Mary Magdalene, that you know gave rise to the Knights Templar and all that nonsense. And you can believe that if you want. I would rather stay real close to the scriptures and go by that, because what had happened is once the apostles started to die off, all this extra biblical nonsense was being preached and taught, and people were fighting over it to the point where darkness, the enemy could not kill the church, so he penetrated the church to put the church into bondage. And the way you put people into bondage is keep them from truth. Okay? And so what had happened was around 300 AD, They were filled with darkness and encapsulated with darkness. The church was having a tough time in surviving. The influence was still going out, but it was not going out in power. It became a religious activity. The Catholic Church, Catholic means universal, was trying to solidify its position. It did everything in order to control the people. And so what they did was they kept their masses in Latin, not in the native tongue of the people. What they did was also limited the amount of print that was going on, and thank God for Gutenberg, who invented the printing press, and the first thing he printed was a Bible. And so from there on in, there was this explosion. But there was one particular event that did happen, and that was on October 31st, 1517. Who knows about church history? Who knows what happened then? Go ahead, Beck. Take a stab. You sure? You may have been right. It was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was stirred by the Holy Spirit. He took his 95 theses and he nailed it to the Wittenberg church door. And that was in complete opposition of the 95 things he had. He was stating every false doctrine, every tradition that the Catholic Church was perpetuating. And also, he was assaulting the church because they were selling indulgences to drum up money from the people. In the meantime, what they were trying to do was limit the educational opportunities for common folk. And believe it or not, it was only the church elite or the royalty that were educated at that time. And what had happened was when Martin Luther nailed this paper onto the door, we call that the end of the Dark Ages and the beginning of the Renaissance Age. From 300 to 1517 was very dark. Lots of bad things happened. The church was consolidating its power. It was being ruled by mere men, not men of God. There was a whole lot that was bad. And so what was happening was the corruption and the abuse of the church was being permeated so that it could solidify its place, but also influence royalty in order to do things that the church wanted to do, because at that time they were teaching that the church was even above the king, and the king had to submit to that. And so there was all this warring that was going on, and of course, Henry VIII, he was warring against that type of thing. He believed that the king was sovereign and that he only had to answer to God, not to the Pope. And so that's what started the move of the Anglican Church. Luther started his move, which was the beginning of the Protestant Revolution, of which we are part of. We are part of a revolution, church, that Jesus Christ started over 2,000 years ago. And so, with that understanding, Luther's main premise was the first beginning of refreshing was the truth of the just shall live by faith. And so for almost 500 years since that time, because we're just shy of 500 years, many truths have been restored back to the church. Even so, that when the Welsh Revival came, and that was started by Evan Roberts, who was a man of prayer, God used him mightily in such a way that the Welsh were overcome by the Holy Spirit. The whole country was being evangelized by the Holy Spirit. Men and women would just go out and pray, and they would fall under the power. Bars would close. People would no longer go to saloons. They would go to church, and they would repent of their sin. Abuses. There was no crime. And so they did away with the police force. Believe it. They did away with a police force, the constables and stuff like that. All because of the revival of the Holy Spirit falling upon mere men. Of that, there were several individuals who had petitioned Evan to come to America. And in 1906, the fire was lit, and we know that as Azusa Street. The revival started there with Brother Seymour, William J. Seymour, who was also a man of prayer, who wanted the power of God, who wanted to see the Holy Spirit move, and he did. He fell upon a small little wooden church that had a dirt floor, had no amenities whatsoever, but people were being saved, and the Holy Spirit fell upon that area. With every truth that the Holy Spirit had been bringing to there, the church was growing. Today, Pentecostalism, which has come out of Azusa Street, modern Pentecostalism, is the fastest growing segment of the church. Believe it or not, Catholicism is dying. Protestantism, or the Protestant aspect, the Methodists, Presbyterians. They are all trying to consolidate themselves, be inclusive to the homosexual community, lesbians, women in the pulpit. Everything that is totally anti-biblical, they're doing to try to consolidate the masses. And again, like I said, it's a matter of control of the masses in order to take leadership over them. But God has a plan. We have to understand that Satan is going to do all that he can do to keep truth from coming out. Remember I said if he can keep you from getting saved, he'll keep you from learning who you are in Jesus Christ. If he can't keep you from learning who you are in Jesus Christ, he will keep you from affecting people's lives. If he can't keep you from affecting people's lives, he will keep you ineffective from using your gifts and talents for the expansion of kingdom dominion. Have I not said this? That is Satan's ploy to eliminate all of us that are speaking this truth to the people of God in such a way that the church doesn't become the end time threat. We sang a song about preparing the way of the Lord. Do you not understand that with you using your gifts and talents, you are honoring God because you are going forth preparing His coming? When you stand out there and you tell people about Jesus Christ, you are a herald. You are telling them that the King is coming. You are preparing His way to this world. And it's only the church's responsibility. No one else is going to do this. So we must do this. Now, when the Welsh Revival in Azusa Street came, Azusa Street in 1906, what has happened since that time? Well, we've had the restoration of faith, active faith. We have had the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit, of which I exhort you guys to begin to exercise them. We have spiritual protocol to protect you. There should be no fear in utilizing these gifts. We need those gifts. We need to hear what God is saying on a more clearly and daily basis. Okay, it is that imperative. He's not only my King, He's also my Lord, and I need to submit and hear what God is saying to you guys so I can get a better picture as to what this puzzle is looking like and how to fit these pieces together. Okay? So every one of us has a part to play in this. Also, true repentance, holiness, was there. Faith, prayer, righteousness. All these simple truths, which we took for granted, have now become restored. Until recently, what has been restored is dominion. The dominion of the church upon this earth. These are popular discussions, but dominion is the next thing that is being taught. And at Banner Brothers, we're seeing some of those elements being preached. You guys are getting a first-hand diet of this, steady diet, when we started with kingdom, and then we've entered into this prophetic move of God. And now kingdom dominion. This is what it's all about, church. You taking your rightful place as an heir to the throne. You are part of royalty, and you have been predestined from the foundations by your Father to rule and reign. Nothing can stop you. Nothing will stop you. Thereby, as a king and priest, it is your responsibility to find out and overcome the obstacles that are set before you. Those obstacles cannot stop you. They're only there to impede the progress of the kingdom. Amen? And so as we go forth and we share this good news and we preach the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and we start raising up people, and we start discipling them into this, expect opposition. We have had opposition everywhere we've turned. We've turned left and right and thought that we would have some smooth sailing, but Satan does not want streams to exist. He is doing everything he can to thwart us, but he is not going to stop us. This will happen. We will have our home, and we will take this land. In Jesus' name. Amen. It has been prophesied to us, and so it shall be. Some of the other things that we have seen that God has been doing as the preaching goes forth, we have seen gold dust just come out of the sky manifesting. It's been on people, and it just shakes off of people. We have seen feathers, just angelic feathers, just floating in the air, and when they touch the ground, they disappear. We have seen people have gold teeth renewed in their mouths that have not had teeth. We have seen this. We have witnessed this of God. We have witnessed where musicians are there praising God fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. But music is still going forth. Angels are playing these instruments because God shall be praised no matter what. And the instruments, you see the instruments in the air. And the strings are moving, or the drums are playing, and the sticks are... But there's nobody there that we see in the physical. We know it's God. Healings, tremendous healings are coming forth. Casting out demons. Demons will manifest. You have the power and authority to cast them out. They have no place in it. You should not be afraid of a demon. This is what we are destined for. This is what warfare is all about. And yet we still struggle with our juvenile sins, our attitudes. We have not recognized the ploy of the enemy in our lives. We deal with anxiety and depression. We call that normal. And we medicate it. That's the way of the world. What we need to do is see it for what it is. Understand it. Exhaust all possibilities. And if none of it is of a natural course, we need to call upon the elders and cast it out. Get rid of it. It's a spirit. Jesus healed many that were demonically oppressed. He healed the brokenhearted. He healed many with sicknesses and diseases. He healed them. Anyone that came to him, he healed them. Why do we not see that in the church? Because they believed this one lie, and that when the scriptures were canonized, all this went away. That is baloney. Is Jesus the same yesterday? Is he the same today? And will he be the same tomorrow? He hasn't changed, so he wants this stuff to happen, and it has not stopped. And as we take up our prayer cloths and we begin to start praying the way God wants us to pray, we will move into these deeper realms or these higher planes of spiritual authority, in which we will do combat with territorial demons. We will deal with demons that are controlling cities and hindering our prayer lives. We will deal with them. They will manifest. They will threaten us. They will do anything they can to impede the kingdom of God from coming. But they will not succeed. We have the victory. Amen? So with this, we see that this prophetic move of God has been happening, and he's going to roar again. And so what does this look like? I call it the apostolic move of God. And what that means is... What the one ingredient that is missing in the move of God is power with his presence. We have his presence. We have that. But now we need his power. And his power is only going to be manifested as we get on our knees and seek his face. That should be the priority of each and every one of us. That's why it should be so important to have our homes in order, our kids in order, our finances in order, everything in order. So that we can be totally devoted and focusing on what God wants to do, because we've lined up our lives with the kingdom. And if we haven't, we have a whole lot of work to go, because what is going to come is going to happen faster and faster. And as I was saying to Holly and Ed this morning, this thing with Pastor Mike, I didn't solicit. I just held his card in my hand yesterday and the phone rang. And from that, I have a possibility of meeting another pastor who is going through the similar things as we are, and we're going to start relating. God is releasing me to do what he wants me to do. I am releasing you to become that which he has called forth from you. We are moving into exciting times of power. The apostolic is infused with power. Do you recognize that we are moving in that direction? If you don't, we need to sit down and talk. Okay? Because we are moving in that direction. And in moving in that direction, you need to take your spiritual climate. You need to know where you are spiritually in this, because this is not for the faint-hearted. This is not for the juvenile. This is for the mature. This is for the saints of God, not the ain'ts. Five things you need to start asking yourself about, and that is, can I identify with the apostolic move in our church? Can you? Do you know what the apostolic is? Do you see it happening before you? And part of that is understanding prophetically he's moving us in a direction in which he wants to manifest his power. Okay? But I just don't want to do that, Pastor. It is not about what you want. It's about what he wants and what he's going to do. There are souls out there that he died for that he wants. And he wants us to go and get them. So we have to understand what this is all about. We have to not only identify it, we have to identify with it. If it's our lives, we're going to move in it. You can't be one foot in and one foot out. You're either all in or all out. But being a fence sitter, Jesus told us, you know, it'd be bad for you to be a fence sitter. So identifying it is no different than baptism, where we identify our lives now hidden in Christ, and the life I live now is Christ. Okay? Two. What is that one thing that is setting our church apart from other churches? Can you identify the one thing that God is doing with us right now that none of the other churches are doing? I could tell you, but I'm not. That's your job. Do you understand the importance for restoration to take place in me or in you and in the church? Okay? There is a restorative process that is occurring before revival comes. Revival is the outcome of us penetrating dark heavens and hard heavens with our prayer lives, so that God's Spirit can penetrate and cause people to be drawn to Him. As we lift Jesus up, He said He would draw all men to Him. Fourth, how do you fit? What is your place in this? Well, I know I'm not supposed to preach. Okay, but what are you supposed to? I don't know. Well, don't you think you need to find out from your Father? He has a specific job that only you can do. I know. I've asked. But I'm not been released to tell you what that is. Don't you think having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is your responsibility? Am I burning within my heart for the things of God or the kingdom? I encourage you to look at Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. You don't have to do it now, but in your leisure. As Holly says, you know, my heart is burning more and more. This burning is us pursuing Him. How do we pursue Him? Do we take a bus tour out to Lancaster? No, we pursue Him by asking Him, seeking Him, wanting to know Him more and more and more. And the funny thing is, He reveals Himself even more grandiose than the last time. It's kind of like taking the onion peel from our eyes so we can see just how glorious He is and how beautiful our God and King is. One of the things that I've observed in speaking to the visitors, and we've had a few visitors here, is that they know that there's something different about Streams. They've each said it. They can't put their finger on it, nor can they vocalize what it is. But they know there's something different. And I call that difference is the presence of God. They sense His presence here. They don't recognize it. And for us, this is normal. We're in this. It's kind of like driving this car that we have, and a person that's never had a car comes in and is oohed and wowed by all the amenities that's within this vehicle. We're used to it. It's commonplace. But what God wants to do is take this vehicle, and He wants to supercharge it in such a way that now it's got power. And that power is contained within each and every one of us. What they sense is there is a reality of us being the church, not playing church. This is their words. I don't solicit. I just observe what they say and take to heart what they're saying, because this is really you guys understanding that this is what it's about. It's about rightly relating one to another. It's not putting on airs and talking about each other. It's defending one another. It's going to bat for one another. Hey, you talk about my brother, you talk about me. You're picking a fight with me now. You're picking a fight with my brother? Guess what? Now you got twice as much of a headache. There's two of us. And as each and every one of us begin to start lining up, just think how imposing it is when the church rises up. All this corruption that is all around us, when the church begins to stand and take her place and start speaking life against that, darkness flees. People retreat. As we mature in our understanding of the apostolic nature of God, He will mold and shape us with His power to become tremendous warriors. Now I'm prophesying to you. This is what your destiny is. To be a warrior. You are a warrior. Our God is a warrior. Just as He is, so are you. You are fearless. You will destroy the enemy's camp, and you will take back everything that he's tried to steal from you and give it back to God, his spoils for the victory. We will be able to command the destruction of ungodliness in the land. God will destroy them. They are at war with God. We are not. But just as he speaks, so should we speak. He will do it, but we need to speak as he speaks. Speak those things that are not as though they were. And when they happen, do not be surprised at the power that you are releasing. Words are powerful. As Irene was alluding to today, about our words, what we're saying. It's really uncanny how each and every person today was touching on a piece of this message. And it's God. It's prophetically the timing. It's the right time for this to happen. You have been born for this, guys. You have been born for this. And those who want dead religion, let them have it. Because the religious spirit is what we're going to combat. We're going to fight against Jezebel spirits, Antichrist spirits, communism, socialism. We're going to fight against hedonism. These are the higher demons. These are the territorial demons that we will be confronting. And they're in the church. We need to cast them out. Take our authority and allow God to tabernacle. That's why it's important that your life be pure and holy under the blood. Mess up, get it covered quickly. Speak words against one another. Repent. Receive forgiveness. Get it under the blood, because these demons wanted to destroy you, your family, your kids. You have to remember, his tactic is what? To rob, to steal, and destroy us. That's what he's about. Our music is going to change. Our music is going to sound different. It's going to be more focused on Jesus Christ. It's going to be more militant. It's going to be more warlike. We started sensing it today. Little by little, it's starting to happen. And I'm not saying it has to be this way. Our music team, our worship team, is just sensing these things and moving in it. And I'm just like, God, you are so cool. You are so cool. I can't wait till we get to live worship. This is where the shaking is going to come. This is where the nations are going to be shaken. When the people of God stand up and praise Him for who He is and what He is going to do, for what He has already done for us. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, I just don't know. Stand up. Don't let the enemy steal it from you any longer. If you look at the illustrations of the temple, everybody stood up. There wasn't a seat for them to sit in. They stood. They praised God. And guess what happened? God came down. And they were slain in the spirit. And the music still went forth. Who played it? Read your scriptures. The angels played it. God manifested. And He wants to manifest here. We're going to sing songs that are just going to be focused on the Lord. It's just going to lift Him up higher and higher and higher. Because He is worthy, church. If you can't praise Jesus in your pew, in your chair, you're no different than those who are stuck in religion. Show that you're different. Become different. Stand up for your God and King. Exhort Him. He is on the throne. He's the only one that should be sitting. When we come together, we're entertaining Him. We're declaring Him. It's not about the pot roast that's burning. Who cares? It's not about the flat tire that's on my lawnmower. Who cares? It's about Him. What is reformation? God has declared we're to go through this change, and we're supposed to, in this change, grow up. We're supposed to go up higher. Reformation always takes place before restoration. Okay? What is reformation? Reformation is deorthosis. It means to thoroughly straighten out, to restore to a natural or normal condition. He is bringing us to a place that is supernatural for us. That should be natural for us to flow in. Okay? And we have been created for His praise. This is what praise and worship is about. And to bring Him glory. That's the purposes of our existence here on this planet. Kingdom dominion is just the job that we have to do this with. The Holy Spirit has been pouring out this apostolic grace upon the church. And this has been going on since about 2000, where the office of the prophet has begun to be accepted and really began to start flowing freely in about 1980s to early 1990s. Around 2000, the apostolic began to start coming together, and people were beginning to realize what this apostolic looked like. It wasn't just administrative; it was more fatherly. It was more of putting nuts and bolts together for the church. It was really helping people's lives come together with a purpose and understanding. And this anointing, it has been flowing upon streams since about, I would say about 2002, when I started catching the revelation of this end time war that we're part of. But what does an apostolic church look like? This you have to take to heart, because this is where we're going. It's not an apostle. Remember I said every church that was founded in the New Testament was by an apostle. I'm not claiming that for myself. I'm just following that example. Okay? But an apostolic church is one that knows that it governs spiritual territories. An apostolic church is one that knows it governs over spiritual territories. It is spiritually confrontational. Okay? It's militant in mindset. They understand their authority. They utilize it to wage war with the presence and power of God at her disposal. Or, in our vernacular, in Jesus' name. If you believe, you use His name. And I can show you my heavenly credit card too. That's not punched. That's got an endless draw on it that I'm going to start using. With this understanding, it understands the expectancy of God to walk in these higher planes of spiritual realities and to walk in victory in this. This is where Jesus suffered all these temptations. He was abused by the enemy, trying to make him sin. In these areas, the apostolic church has a spiritual boldness to confront, tear down, punish disobedience, and then that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then when we're done that, then we dismantle man-made traditions and idolatry. Have we gotten there yet? No, we haven't. But we are going there. If you read the Old Testament and you see where the men of God tore down the altars to Baal, turned down the Asherah poles, tore these things down. They were real places, but spiritually, what they were saying was they were tearing down everything that exalted itself above the Lord God Almighty. El Shaddai. El Elohim. That's what they were doing. And so shall we. We do it in the realm of people's minds. Why do you think that way? Well, let me tell you what God says. And be bold enough to believe what God says, because it will shut their mouth. They will run either to repent or accuse us of being lunatics for Christ. And we're not lunatics. We know the truth, and He's alive. Amen? We will combat racism, witchcraft, spirits of divination, foreign gods, Eastern mysticism. We will win disciples out of these areas and send them back in to become fishers of men. Make disciples and release them. That's all that Ezekiel talks about the river. And if you can see that, you'll understand what's going on. These disciples that we build, that God builds through us, they will set their lives and ministries in accordance to kingdom principles. They will not compromise. They will not give in to religious opinions or worldly programs. Scripture says they followed the Lamb wherever they went and did not blemish their clothes. This is coming, I'm telling you, and we're going to be part of it. They have a fervent militant prayer life, and yet are lovingly humble to everyone. If streams is to be an apostolic church, we must stop making excuses why not to one of taking and ministering dominion to others. Remember I said, it's not an option that we can do nothing, we need to do something. Okay? You have the power to overcome. Jesus Christ has empowered you to overcome. Whether it's in your home life, whether it's in your social life, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your vocational life, whatever it is, you have the power to change it by changing your attitude. That's why renewing your mind is so critical in this confrontation. If people, all they hear is us gossiping and complaining about what's going on with this brother, that sister, or whatever, we're no different than the world. You are different. You're of a royal home, a house that has no end to it. Your Father doesn't speak evil about you, and neither should you speak evil of one another. He only thinks of good things about you, things to prosper you, things to make you successful in life. We need to stop this childishness of being envious and jealous of one another because they just happen to do what God has told them to do. And all of us, I have siblings that are jealous of what God has done for my family. But I uncompromisingly brag on God and His Word and living it. And God has seen fit to bless us in a small way. These times of refreshings is you will be releasing this. Every time you speak truth, every time you speak prophetically to a person, and God is going to show you, like He's shown me, things that are going to happen in a person's life, and He expects you to share that with them. Not to instill fear into them, but to let them know that God loves them so much, He wants to keep them from that happening. These are the refreshings that Peter was talking about 2,000 years ago that are now upon the church now. The Holy Spirit is with us. We need to enlist Him. For too long, we've ignored Him. We need to enlist Him. Jesus said, I'll give you another helper who's like me, but His job is to teach you in all things, to brag on everything that I'm doing in heaven for you, to show you things that are coming, to empower you to cast out the devil, speak in other tongues, raise the dead. Shall I go on and on? Every time we believe God and it happens, it just is a mark that the kingdom of God is here now, coming through you, emanating from you. Jesus came from an empty tomb. You are no longer there. It's Jesus is there. He's coming out of you, and He's coming out of me. This shell is empty, but it's filled with the glory of God. Just letting it happen. Streams will not only be known for the love of God, but for her ability to build, govern, guide, establish, strategize, attack, demonic territory, set captives free, heal the brokenhearted, cast out demons, heal the sick, impart spiritual gifts, set in order things, and much, much more. Whatever you could ask or imagine, God is so much more than that. If you pick up the Welsh Revival and you begin to start seeing these things, you may not have heard of such things. You read church history and you see that every denomination came because there was a time of refreshing. A truth was restored to the church. The Quakers came because the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they sat in their chairs and they quaked. They shivered. Did you know that? The Shakers did the same thing, only they fell out of their pews onto the ground and they were shaken on the ground because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So you had the Quakers and the Shakers. The salt and the peppers. My blood. That's our people. But that's who God is. He's not somebody to fear. He's somebody to embrace. And once you embrace Him, don't let Him go. Go with Him as far as He wants to take you and as long as He wants to take you. Because you will not regret it. Streams will provide an inheritance for all those who find safe haven here. It caused the saints to run with the horses. It's another way of saying set the pace. This pace is going to be fast, church. God told us years ago it's going to start as a trickle and it's going to speed up. He knows we're going to have some need to build up this stamina. But once he sees that we have it, He's going to let it go. Are you building your stamina? Are you setting things in order so that you can run with the horses to set the pace for the next generation. That they pass you. That's my great joy here, is watching you guys grow up. Jen, when 2 years ago, I just think about where you were 2 years ago, asking and questioning to a place that you're on fire for God and yes, Lord, whatever it is. I see it. Shame. God healing you up. Getting you ready for some great adventures, girl. Yeah, you had a bump in the road. But your Father is going to provide you with a man of God. A true man of God. Yeah, Nick, God's going to give you that third child. And He's going to turn your life around. What you're planning is not what He's planning. You have to be ready for that. Yeah, Shar, God's speaking to me right now about you. Don't look at yourself through other people's eyes. Look at yourself through His eyes. You are valuable to Him. He loves you undyingly. And He showed you how much He loves you by dying for you. You are a special person. You are unique. And He wants you to appreciate the uniqueness that you are. And excel in that uniqueness. Ken, He wants you to begin to start upping the ante a little bit. He wants you to go for the gold. Stop being just satisfied with the bronze. He wants you to have gold. And He's going to lay it in your hands. He's not going to put it at your feet. He's going to put it right in your hands. And then you're just going to go, wow. And Kimmy's going to be right there alongside of you. And she's going, see, I told you. See, I told you. Just like what I'm saying to you, she's already told you. Ed and Holly, God has so much more to elevate you guys up, that to be pillars of the house of God is what you're asking. But God has something much more. He wants you to be gatekeepers in the house of God. And that is power and authority. He wants you to understand how precious you are to Him and what He wants to do in your lives. Jesse, Gary, don't be afraid. I know you've embraced what God has called into your life, but what He wants to do is bring a oneness, a completeness to you. And He understands the struggles that you guys are going through right now. But He will give you a child in season. You need to be satisfied with that in His timing. God, you're so good. So good. For those who serve, Daniel, you might as well come forward, because he's speaking to me about you right now. This is prophesying, personal prophecy. He's just speaking that the anointing that he gave him the day when I first met Dan and we went through prophetic people, he has not withdrawn that anointing. But he wants him to use it. And use it in a way to not only as an encourager, which is part of being prophetic, but now to speak those things that are not as though they are. You've been embarrassed to speak those things, Dan. Those things that God has shown you, you've been reluctant to speak life to them things. And God wants you to start speaking those things. In your prayer life, start speaking them. Start being radical for Him. Start speaking about the warriors that God is going to assemble here at Streams. Start speaking about the blessings He's going to pour out upon Streams. Speak about the areas in which He's going to take the two of you. And teach people the ways of the Lord and be fearless and courageous. That's your destiny. You don't need to know timing. God has it, and He'll speak it to us. You need to just be about His business. You know what? We get caught up in a lot of this periphery, which is a sidetrack of the enemy. And God loves you so much. He's healed so much in your life, but there's still more that He wants to deliver from you. That one day He's going to appear to you. You're going to see Him bodily. And in that day, you're going to fall to your knees and He's going to lift you up clean. Clean. Jen, Jess, your family's coming to Christ.
Hallelujah.
He's heard your prayer. He's heard your prayer. Because you want to honor Him. He wants to honor you. And Becky? You're like this young rosebud with tons of thorns around, and you don't want to open up. And God, show me this young rosebud, and there's thorns all around to protect yourself from. And God's going to take each thorn and knock it off. And then He's going to blow on you and fill you with His Spirit to open you up. Because within you is a sweetness and a fragrance that you couldn't believe God had put there. And your fragrance, when you walk into a room, it's going to permeate the room. Because that fragrance that you're exuding is Him. Dylan, God's called you into His house. But what He's called into your life may be too wonderful for you. But He's called you to be a guardian of the truth. You know what that means? That means you sit at the king's table and you protect the king. This is coming. And I'm so honored to be used to tell you what He wants to do for you. We're walking this thing out. You guys, if you just go with the flow, it will happen. And there's so much more that they're not here. Sean, Nolan, Dory. Be faithful to Him. Remain faithful to Him. Don't ever let Him go. Because you're worthy. You're that important to Him. Now, let's run long. Streams is going to be an apostolic church. And our motto, and we've heard this at the Banner Brothers, but our motto, take it to heart, is why not now? Why not here? Why not us? Why not today? Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You how good You are, God. Do it, God. Do it. We will be obedient to Your Spirit and to Your leading, God, to accomplish those things. We will take our hands off of the areas that we have no business putting our hands to, God. Yes. We repent to you, Father. We repent to you, God, of all the plans and devices that we've set up and we've not inquired of you. We repent to you, Father, and ask that you forgive us and have mercy upon our souls, Lord God. That your plans are greater and higher than we could ever ask or imagine. And that what we're going to be trained to do, God, is what we have been created to do from the beginning. Lord, may streams honor you and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.